and it's been a delight to share this theme. And yet I must, now we approach a subject, as has been intimated in prayer, beyond us, above us, of all true holiness. Save us and wash us in the blood of Jesus, and just leave us as we are. But it's to purge us from worldliness, to make us whole, positively holy, worshiping Him, to prepare when He shall come on the clouds and receive us forever and ever. It's written about the theme I'm going to try to bring to you right now. Perhaps it's too intimate, too sacred, too above us. It's called All of Heaven, the World of Love, in God, loving each other in His own person, loving the believers, believers loving Him, believers loving the angels, believers and angels, a world of, and that love is beyond, it's perhaps just two of us on this earth. We're too used to being in our own, we're too used to having casual rather than intimate friends. Brazil, as I said earlier, I believe, about the Brazilian people, they are extremely affectionate and loving. First time I ever preached in Brazil, when I said amen to the sermon, one of the elders jumped off the seat and he came up on the pulpit hugging me and rocking me back and forth. And he went Portuguese in my ear. I had no idea what he said. But affection. And you take pictures together with men. You put your arms around each other. First, no. It was too intimate, you see. But after a while, I began to appreciate love, the warmth, the appreciation. But it's nothing compared to heaven. Loving and being loved. Affection. And having Jesus, center of it all. Oh, dear friend, you want Jesus at the center of your life. You long, grieve you don't know Him as well as you should. But you want to glorify Him. You don't ever want Him to leave you. Abide, Emmaus. Abide with us. It will happen. He will never leave. He will always be in the Lamb in the midst of the throne. And forever. And then you will do so in perfect holiness on earth, to be with the Holy Lamb before whom the, and you will be able to see Him with uncovered face through a glass darkly, but face to face, behold in holiness par excellence. So, in this hour, I'd like to speak to you still about this theme. And there is so much that let me just read a few verses to you. You notice in the chapter, notice the end of verse 23, that was already referenced in prima, is the light thereof. There's no sun in heaven. The Lamb is the light thereof. Glory of God shines through the Lamb. 19, verses 7 and 8, I'll be referring to. Be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage has come, and His wife, that's His bride, that's you and me, if we're believers, self ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in white. For the fine linen is the righteousness, so we will behold Him in glory as His bride. And then there's Revelation 7, where the question is asked, who are these that are coming into heaven in white robes? Verse 14, these are they which have come out of great tribulation and have washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they deserve Him day and night in His temple, and He that shall dwell among them. They shall neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and wipe away all tears from their eyes. And so my theme is, behold Christ in glory as the end goal of holiness here Ted's wonderful book, Heaven and Hell, for several of my thoughts I'm about to bring you, says Christ and heaven, synonymous in the Bible. That the Bible doesn't say very often about a belief to heaven. It says he's going to be with Jesus. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today thou shalt me in paradise. Those three words, thou with me, dates the entire desire, the entire longing of the child. That is heaven. Thou with me. Samuel Rutherford said, if there were 1,000 heavens, Jesus Christ would be the centerpiece of every single one of them. And he also said, which of course is not possible, but he meant it right, if Jesus had to spend eternity in hell, because that would be heaven to me. You see, heaven and being with Jesus for the believer. Heaven, be empty. I had to bury a neighbor two doors from my house, 61-year-old trapping man who worked on the road, supervised building bridges, and for the last 2 years his body degenerated. He died happily, but his mother is now pushing 90, I suppose. She lost her husband when I first came to Grand Rapids 20 years ago, and I reminded her of that of last week. And I come, how beautiful her home was. Wonderful. Really decorated well. It was just, it wasn't too much. It wasn't beautiful. It was a cozy home. What she said to me, she said to me anymore. I said, nothing. My husband isn't here. Without him. See, that's how we, by saints, surrounded by angels, surrounded by the beauties of glory, is the grand goal, the grand perfect perfection of heaven capsulizes in this grand truth. I shall behold them in the midst of the throne. I buried my father about 15 years ago from this text in Revelation 7. For the first time as I prepared the funeral message were these words, which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Did you ever think about that? That the believers will be gathered around the throne. The throne, every eye shall behold him. Every eye. He shall never be out of sight again. We shall always be in his presence. The Lamb of God. Why all this focus in heaven, Jesus Christ? Why is this so central? The Lamb of God. Three reasons. We behold the Lamb of God in heaven because in heaven we'll turn to sight. Faith will continue to exist. Some people say faith, there's no faith in heaven, but faith is essentially the Lord in heaven. So in that sense, faith will go on. But there's a dimension of faith. Part of faith is Hebrews 11:1, isn't it? That sense of things not seen. Well, in heaven, Christ will be seen. Isaiah 33 puts it this way. Behold the King in his beauty. Glances. Samuel Rutherford said, blinks. Through the lattice of his word, sharply. But there, face to face. Just to you. But as we behold Christ face to face, yes, and embrace our Holy Savior, epitome of holiness. Being with Jesus. Seeing him as he is, delighting in him forever. I think Bunyan, through a character in Pilgrim's Progress named Mr. Stan, he's a mature saint. And when he joins the pilgrims on the way, he bears his soul with these words. The thought of what I am lies like a glowing coal in my heart. You see, he's longing for Jesus. Calvin said, if you're not lately longing for Jesus, you've made little progress in the Christian life. But when Mr. Standfast approaches the Jordan and turns around to say a farewell to his friends, he says, going now to see that head that was crowned with thorns and that faith in me. Formerly I have lived by hearsay and faith, I shall live by sight, and I shall be with him. I delight myself. This is the apex of holiness. This is the grand goal. To be with Jesus, to gaze upon him, to relish him, to enjoy, to feast at his right hand with pleasures forevermore. And if you're at that thought, my friend, I wonder if you're a Christian at all, to be in Emmanuel's land, where Emmanuel is all. There the bride shall lie, not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. There we worry, as at upon our King of grace giveth, but on his pierced hand, the Lamb, all the glory, in Emmanuel's land. So that's the first great reason for holiness in heaven, beholding. Don't see him as he is. Now the second great reason is that betrothal, engagement, if you will issue in there forever. Be his bride if you're a believer. Be a perfect bride for a perfect husband, perfect marriage that shall never be stained with one sin. Your state that Adam and Eve were in, think of it, married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 45, Isaiah 50, Isaiah 62, Matthew 9, Matthew 25, Ephesians 11, Ephesians 5. It's all over in the Bible. But it's so little preached about. So little. Perhaps it's too holy. Perhaps it's too intimate. We need to encourage ourselves with it in all the struggles of holy, separating ourselves from the world. All these struggles and using power we've heard about today, using the means of grace. We need to keep our eye fixed on it. We are going to be married to it and enjoy it without embarrassment, without covering, without hesitation, without shame. We shall be perfectly at home, the holy presence of the Lamb of God. Understood here below, the Lord is our dwelling through all generations. Let us rejoice, Revelation 19 says, and give honor to him that come, and his wife hath made herself ready. She shall be arrayed in fine linen, clean. Revelation 21, verse 2. And I, John, saw the whole thing down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride of her husband. And then verse 9. And the angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked to them, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And then he showed her all around. Now what does it mean to be in heaven? I believe the whole Trinity is involved in this marriage. The Father gives us as a bride to the Son. Ephesians 5 says, he purchased his bride with his own blood. He paid an awesome price, friends, soul. He hung in the naked flame of his Father's wrath. The passions of the mob and women. The forsaking of his own disciples, of all the turning away of his Father, the dereliction of the God-forsakenness on the cross. My God, why? That's what God thinks of sin. The dowry price that Jesus had to pay to win you, to be his bride, to purchase you in accord with the justice of God. Well, Jesus Christ, the Father gives you to him, and the Holy Spirit, here below, Ephesians 1, our engagement, who gives a guarantee by his down payment. He also prepares us for that wedding day. So the Holy Spirit, thus, like an engagement ring, and day of marriage to Jesus. And what a day it will be. When my wife and I were married, we didn't know who to. How can you not invite people from your own congregation?
So he just said,
the whole church filled up. Everyone wanted to see
the whole church filled up.
Everyone was surprised. The church was full. What about the heavenly church? It will be full on that day. Every bride of Christ will be there. His only bride, and yet he has millions of brides. There will be one empty chair in heaven. They will all be the one his Father's given him will be there. In fine linen. The fine linen of his perfect righteousness and snow. There will be no sin to stain her. Perfection. She will be married to him. And commit forever. Marriage at last. My wife and I had a nephew who lived with us for 4 years. He went to college, just graduated, left our home some months ago. Anyways, he was a wonderful young man, but when they came, his future courting or dating or married young man, he said to me one time, look for a perfect woman. There isn't such a thing on this earth, groom. In a life to come. And there's a perfect bride who will be made perfect marriage and glory. But not on this earth. No perfection here. When I marry couples, I often, young man, tonight, don't forget you're marrying a sinner. And young woman, don't forget you're marrying a sinner. Don't expect too much of each other. There's no other kind of people on earth to marry but sinners. But let your marriage strive to reflect of Christ and his church, which is perfect. In glory. My friend Kurt Daniel in America, that he found in a book of a young lady, strange disease, and then it got worse and worse. And her father thought she was losing her mind. He said to her dad, I'm finally going last. Oh no, he said, you're going to die. Oh no, she said, forever. Married the Lord Jesus Christ. So behold him in that day, if you're a believer, and you will have intimacy of angels. Because they have never, and you will be having the intimacy of redemption, grace. You will enter into what the old divines called beatitude, blessed union, unspeakable union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Infinite bliss and infinite happiness. There will be without any sin or any hindrance, nothing you expect to it. The most intimate moment with your wife and the most intimate delight and the most intimate joy will be nothing in the Lamb of God. There will be rapt light in each other. And you will experience the fruit, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of fear. What shall it be hereafter? The story is told of a man named William Montague, at the age of 10. His family cared for him. He went to university. He won a scholarship. And there he met the beautiful daughter of a British, and the courtship was kindled and flamed, and though he had never seen her in marriage, and she said yes, he married her. A surgeon came along and said to her, to William's father, there's a new surgery out now, William. And William agreed to undergo the surgery a week before my wedding, because if it works, it'll be unwrapped from my head. While my bride is walking up, I see to be my bride. That's what happened. The surgery was successful. But William didn't find out until the bandages run round. His father came up while the first thing he saw was his bride. And he was so over. You are far more beautiful. Well, if Solomon, the half of it was not told me. If William Montague could fall than I ever imagined, what will it be to walk through my Jesus and in the words of Rutherford, have him take a soft cloth from my eye so that I see him clearly, face to pure, exquisite beauty with a catified. We will rejoice joy unspeakable and full of glory. Christ is the very jewel of heaven's crown. He's the focal point of the glory center. He makes heaven heaven. He is heaven's heaven. Without money, you can get to heaven without education. You can get to heaven without beauty, even without friends. But you can't get to heaven without. And so may I ask you this afternoon, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you long to live holy lives, preeminent that you will be with him forever? Not as the merit of, but as the natural outgrowth of his justifying you, in you, and preparing you, meet for the Master's use. Without, no man shall enter into heaven. Only the Lord. But being made holy of Christ's own work, the Christ who justifies us, will take every scale from our eye, and we will be whole, and our engagement will turn. Are you betrothed to him? When I was a young man, I went up to a church in New Jersey. Mission, I could only do what they said if I wore my uniform, and I had the, in our background, we have it only every 2 or 3 months. So it's preparatory messages and so on of the church in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And I didn't want to draw it that night. I said, no, I won't go up to the front and partake around the table. Do that. It will disturb people. They won't know who I am. You. But there on the nightstand sat a book by Brownell North. The title, Now Go With This Man. Convicted. How could I stay away from Jesus? And I was so convicted. How could I stay away from Jesus? How could I stay away, minister? I said, I cannot not come. May I come? Stay away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, oh, you are welcome. You are welcome. See what happened the following morning. There was a friend from Kalamazoo. And on his way, he stopped in at this church and they had the Lord's Supper. And he did not partake. Never do that again. And he came back from Germany 2 months later. And I met him in the parking lot. God is so gracious. So me, Joey said, I have to partake of the Lord's Supper. And I said, so do I. And we sat together. God gave communion with the Lord and communion with one. But I also saw something at that Lord's Supper I never forgot. At the end of the Lord's Supper, there were two elderly women who were weeping. Before they went back to their seats, they embraced and gave each other a kiss. Perhaps that's the first holy kiss I'd ever seen, a kiss in the Lord. When you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you center on him, he will also make you fall in love with his people. Bonding, there'll be a fellowship that is also one. It's not only being married to Jesus, there's a wedding party. There are attendants, and the attendants rejoice. And how good it is when we rejoice with one another in our marriage with the Lord Jesus. And so you see, holiness in this life, it's not about being a holier-than-thou mentality. It's about being prepared for our wedding. Being prepared to be with Jesus forever. You know, when you talk to brides before their wedding, you ask your wedding. 124. Are you ready? Well, everything's as ready as it can be. I'm working hard. Sometimes even the last, to get everything ready. Everything's got to be ready. Everything's got for the bridegroom. Brides and bridegrooms ahead of time, they say to me, a bride will say to me, I'm so afraid. I'm going to be so nervous. I'm going to be shaking. I say to them, I'll tell you how to get rid of that. Say, the marriage books say, as you walk down the aisle, you've got to smile to this person, smile to all these fake smiles. What you do, just, and you look at your bridegroom, and you smile at your bridegroom, eyes, and you walk up the aisle, just focus on him alone. Nervousness, because you love him. There's no fear in fear. I've had so many brides come to me later and say, you know, that focus just on him. But you see, in heaven, that's what we'll do. Him and enjoy him. And love will cast out fear. And we can know his beauty and glory. Oh, God, wedding. Thanks be to God. Run away to our heavenly husband. It's the best day of the believer's life. Our forefathers used to say, it's better than the day of our birth because we ushered into the presence of. So the holding Christ in glory is the apex of holiness, is that our faith will be turned to sight, is that we will be married with him forever. The reason I leave with you this afternoon is that we will be fully conformed and we will be perfect. Even as he is. Isn't that the goal of all holiness? Isn't that the goal? 29. We are predestinated to be conformed of his son. John says we know we shall be like him. I don't know how much you've thought of that, but let me. This is one of the most wonderful thoughts in all the Bible. That means, first of all, that we shall have no more sin. No more sin shall taint anything. That and embody, I will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glorious. It will be my meat and my drink. Father, without any inconsistency. And to love, I will be in favor with God and with man. There will be no cloud, there will be no hindrance. Raised in the likeness of his resurrection, my body will be made like unto. It will be impossible for me to be unchristlike. The beauty of beholding the Lamb of God. But it is only enhanced by the fact that I will, through perfect eyes and with a perfect heart and body, there will be perfect mutual. See nothing wrong with me. No transgression in Israel, and there'll be no sin there. Wasn't it McShane who said, when I with unsinning heart shall see the Lord, then I shall know how much. And isn't this the language of the Song of Solomon? This mutual love, thou art all fair, my love, there's no spot in thee. The bride responds as a lily among thorns, so is my. Oh, is it hard that Christ, is it hard this way about you? It's hard for me to imagine. It's so hard to grasp, so hard to hang on to. Because sometimes hard, aren't there? Will I make it in the end? I know my own sinfulness. What will I do? Will I go back like a dog and wallow in the mire? Go back to the vomit of sin? Really be sinless? Will I really persevere to the end? Well, you see, the Lamb will justify me. The Lamb who begins to perfect me. That Lamb will make me perfectly holy. He will bring me to him. He is. And when I come where he is, and when he knows sunlight, he is thereof. He's the Son of Heaven. He will shine in glory, taken off of him again. And he won't be like the straight at the sun. You'll be blinded. But there we will have likeness of the sun, and somehow we'll have physical eyes that can cope with the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus. Our Heidelberg Catechism says it so beautifully in question, do you take from the article of life everlasting, that since I now feel a much joy, of eternal joy, after this life, I shall inherit not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man to conceive, God therein forever. The Puritans used to speak of grace as young. Grace is, they said, glory in the bud. Beautiful tulip bulb. Doesn't look much to the naked eye. There's a beautiful tulip on the way. Is on the way. Here below our holiness is a bud, a flower in all its beauty. Holy. And that holiness stinks. Let me lay them before you before we close this afternoon. A perfect soul. 23, describing heaven, says, the judge of all and to the spirits of just men. Perfect. My friend, the moment you die,
your soul will go to God its maker without blame before him in love. What a wonder. What a wonder. John Owen said, believer, unto whom sin is not his greatest burden, his greatest sorrow. Do you understand that? Grieve over your sin, even after you're saved. Yes, more. Grieve that you sin against the cross. Grieve that you're still so self-centered, still can be so dishonest, lacking self-control, so obstinate. Sometimes saying irritating things even to those who are so resentful, so unforgiving. You grieve with Paul, evil, until heaven. Until you die to Christ, and then you will never sin again. You will never grieve the single commandment of God again. You will be holy. You will never hail your Savior again. You'll never have to ask for forgiveness again. You'll never over your own sin again. You'll never have to say, with joy myself, and repent, and dust and ashes. Sinless, a mere utopian dream for a believer. It will happen. God is predestinate in his stupendous love, perfectly to the image of his Son. You pray all your life, don't do evil, and one day it will happen. No more sin. Perfect holiness. Now that should encourage us in our struggles against sin here below. Some of us this afternoon are very weary of our sin, into the same sin, the same besetting sin. We're weary of sin throwing us down again. And we're tempted, aren't we, ourselves, to look upon ourselves sometimes as useless, and perhaps you've even doubted your salvation. You say, how can I keep falling? My child, the death sentence on those sins, look at them from the perspective of heaven. They will soon be buried in the grave forever, in the sea of eternal forgetfulness forever. But the second encouraging thing, of course, is our bodies will be raised like Christ. In glory. As we close this afternoon, let's look at 1 Corinthians in a wonderful way. Please look with me. 1 Corinthians 15, 42. A wonderful theology of the future of our bodies. And Paul, about our perfect bodies in the great day. Our bodies and bodies. You'll recognize them. Yet they will be different. Four differences. 42. Our bodies, which are will be raised in incorruption. You see, that's the first. Here our bodies are decaying. All of us this afternoon, our bodies are decaying. But there they will be, never ache, never feel pain. They will be full of life forever. Secondly, verse 43, honor. It is raised in glory. Two of my members who passed away last Wednesday, The dishonor of the coffin, the poor, weak shell, that them as good as possible. But everyone knows the evidence of the wages of sin. Those dead, poor, decaying bodies. They're going to rot. You know, there's something. But Paul says they will be raised in beauty, in glory. Physical beauty. You see, that's why Paul writes to the Corinthians. They were basically Platonists. They wanted just... They said the body is negative. The body is evil. The body is a cage. The bird in the cage. The bird has to get rid of the cage and fly out, Plato said. And be free. No, said Paul. Deem the whole man. Soul and body. Christ be not raised. You see, our faith is in vain. He's raised in glory. No one knows yet. But it certainly means at least this much, that our and radiant and beautiful and marvelous, Jesus said, the sun in the kingdom of heaven. There will be no marks of aging forever in the beauty of our strength, in our manliness, in our womanly God. imperfection. C.S. Lewis said, if we could see now fellow believers, they would fall down and worship them. We'll be perfect, you see, in soul and body too. Really, Paul says, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Aren't we? We get tired after a day. We sometimes fall asleep. We can't cope. Our energy is drained away. No weakness. No tiredness. Eternal dynamism. Eternal power. They won't even know what it is. All the impulses of our holy wills and our holy desires to continuous blessed activity forever. And finally, it is sown a natural body, a spiritual body. Here's a tricky one, you see. Spiritual healing, it means Holy Spirit controlled, energized, ruled by the Spirit. We'll have a spiritual, Spirit-dominated. And we will behold Him. The perfect soul and perfect will look upon us and actually see perfection. He will rejoice with joy unspeakable. He will see the travail of His life, and His work in us will be brought to such a pitch of glorious perfection. He will share His love with us, His church, His bride, and say to us, here they are, Father, with no spot and no wrinkle and no thing. Behold, You are fair, my love. You are spot in You. You see, He will look and He will see Himself in us. It is Himself in us that He loves. Grace, His own perfections, His own beauty. That He will admire. He loves Himself in us. And that is why we are told we shall be like Him. Perfect salvation in a perfect place, but above all, in perfect with the triune God, with the Lamb being all the glory. But her dear bridegroom's face, I will not gaze at glory, not at the crown He giveth, but on His pierced hand, the light of Emmanuel's land. Let me speak a moment, illustration, to those of you who love with the Lord Jesus Christ. To holiness, you think you don't miss Him? You're filling your life with the empty toy. In 19th in Scotland, there was a major train line, ravine. Devon bridged it, was one of the wonders of the north. A wonder raged in that area. And the stream under the viaging torrent, a young shepherd boy sheltered his sheep, best he could. Early in the morning, he got up to see how his sheep fared. Way up the hillside, he noticed with horror the central disappeared, and the bridge was broken. And he knew, so he scrambled up the embankment and battered it. Breath the other side and made his way up to the track just as the train was signaled to the conductor to stop. Waved him away and kept going into the abyss of the ravine. And finally the boy, he threw his body across the track. And immediately the conductor screeched on the and came to a screeching halt. People woke up on the train, empty. They ran to the front of the train. What has happened, they said. The driver said, come, I will show you. They went to the front of the train and saw the mangled remains of a Highland shepherd boy. Pause, a long pause. And then someone said, if that boy had not died for us, we would have all perished tonight. You see, that is what the Lord Jesus did for poor sinners. He threw across the track of their lives. If He hadn't, we would all be dead forever. But what attitude it would have been had not felt grateful. It is for you, my friend, the proffered mercies of this Savior, light of His death on the cross. If you go on this way, you will go alive into the abyss. But still today, this Savior comes to you and he says, stop no further. I've suffered. Repent and turn to me. Leave the gospel. I will save you and I will make you holy. And I will bring you ever where I am. Will you once more, my friend, reject the infinite, stupendous love of the good and the chief shepherd? Or will you bend the knee in Jesus and say, have mercy on the sinner? Let's pray. Great God, we thank thee so much. And we thank thee for the amazing future that people to be with Jesus, where behold his glory, he of the throne. Oh God, we pray all our lifetime here as we sense to meditate on that perfect holy and to long, oh, to sin and yes to thee, in anticipate eternal perfect marriage with thee. Betroth us now, engage us now, lead to thee hereafter. Please bless gathered here, bless this church, bless Pastor Watts, the elders, the office bearers, be with thee, and work mightily in the midst. Bless thy word here and all over the globe, wherever thy truth is proclaimed. Let thy kingdom come. And bless our fellowship now with mercies to those who will be returning to their homes. And please make and keep us a holy people to the service of the Most High God and reserved in Christ and for Christ and by and through Christ and unto Christ and with Christ ever. Amen.